Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
We're back with another episode of Lending Forward. You've got me again, Hannah McManus, and I'm joined today with Kristen Mezzarelli. She is a go-to person for all things research, presentations, education. Gen Z buyers is what I think of you, Kristen. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was probably a terrible intro, but I've seen you speak. I've seen you speak at a bunch of different conferences, and the education and the research and everything that you bring is always top notch. And I always learn something new from you. And I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today, because I don't think people really think about the psychology of money and what it actually means to our buyers. So, before we dive into that, I know you and Dave have launched a new, I don't know what you want to call it. Is it a company?
Nonprofit. It's a nonprofit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about it.
Yeah. So I've been doing research on millennial and next gen, Gen Z trends for a lot of my career. And I started out my career actually as a social worker. And so I feel like that's really kind of was a culmination of like something I've always wanted to do, something I've always been very passionate about, which is how do we bring financial literacy to the next generation? Of course, financial literacy is something that comes up in all of the research, just a lack of confidence in their knowledge. And this is something that Dave Savage is also super passionate about. And so we decided about a year or so ago to come together with Todd Buxman as well and bring what we believe to be a nonprofit where everyone can participate. It's the idea that the industry is coming together to solve for the financial literacy crisis. And so we have an ambassador program where people access presentation materials and content, resources, anything they would need to educate the next generation. So that's really how it's set up. We also work with other nonprofits and schools and things like that to bring free financial literacy education to them. But we're very much focused on like, how do you bring this into your community?
I love that. And I'm actually really curious, because what are you guys seeing kind of out there right now? We know financial literacy is something that's needed and everybody, you know, kind of takes it in their own form. But we also know that there's a huge trust issue with the media and just what people are being told. And you're hearing, you know, 85 different things from 85 different people. So nobody really knows where to go. What are you guys kind of seeing out there for the millennial and the next gen buyer? How are they digesting their education?
Yeah, so actually trust is a really common theme that has come up in the research that I've done through the last few years. And it's what ultimately led me to want to do the money psychology report. But yeah, it's one, there's like one category of, lack of knowledge, lack of feeling that there's a lack of access to homeownership. But then there's two, this lack of trust in the industry itself. So people don't have confidence in their own knowledge, and then they also don't feel confident talking to somebody else about it because they don't know that they can trust them or their answers, you know? So then they go online, there's a bunch of different answers, and then they have the media also telling them that homeownership is out of reach, or that, you know, like a lot of different things that can mix messages. And so, yeah, you wonder why people are slow to enter the market. And it's not just affordability. Yes, that's a huge problem. Student loan debt is still a huge problem, you know, all of these things, but that is not I think it's this lack of trust and lack of access paired with the knowledge that is a huge barrier that we can solve for.
I'm taking notes because I think that's so much. So are you all going into schools and you're going into communities? Are you partnering with lenders to help you with that? Are you, that's part one of the question. Part two is, are you all also kind of training or helping loan officers get into those schools and get into those communities and help educate?
Yes, that's exactly all of the above what we're doing. Yes. So one, we have been, I actually thought when we started the nonprofit that we were going to be very much focused on going to schools and scaling the program within schools. So we built out a full curriculum, lesson plans, all that kind of stuff, and then have found it's really difficult to get the program into schools and very slow. So it's still something that we are going to continue to pursue. And we've rolled this out with a couple different schools, but we found where we're getting a lot of traction is with loan officers and real estate agents who then they already have a connection with a school or a nonprofit where they can go in and do a presentation, or they're already involved there. And we can just be fuel on that fire to help them, you know, have the resources they need. And we have people all the time that are just like, I have a presentation tomorrow, I haven't prepared. And I'm like, here's your presentation, here's all the resources you need, here's an activity you can do with the classroom. And so people that are, that want to, and it's not just in a classroom, it's also like, you know, going, doing a first time homebuyer workshop or things like that. So, and then the way we're partnering with lenders, that's kind of a newer thing. We have lender partnerships, and Movement and Churchill have been our first two, where they actually have a custom ambassador program. So we customize all of the presentation materials for their loan officers, and then they sponsor a certain number of ambassadors to join the program.
That's really cool. So,
yeah. I think that's how we can really scale our impact too. Yeah. You know, I mean, I hope we can continue to grow on the nonprofit and school side of things, but I also think that this is really where we can reach more people, through people taking ownership over that in their community.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you do a ton of research. I mean, I think your research is what sets you apart from everybody else, but talk to me about this money psychology report. What is it and what did you find?
Yeah, so this has been maybe my favorite report I've done. I've been partnering with National MI to bring these research studies over the, since early 2020. And we've done, we surveyed over 7,000 millennial and Gen Z consumers. And like I said, trust was a really common theme that has come up. And what I realized is it's about like people's relationship to money, you know, and so some of the ways that we have, we've grown up, or the influence from our parents or caregivers that has had on us, that's ingrained at a really, really early age. And if we don't recognize some of those emotional aspects or psychological influences on money, then we are going to just behave in those patterns and not actually be able to change our financial behavior. So for instance, with like, I have a ton of anxiety around money. Like I just, it doesn't matter how much money I will ever make in my life. I will always open my bank account, or I'll try not to open my bank account because I don't want to see what's in there. You know, it's just like, but I know that that was something, my mom didn't grow up with a lot of money. I know I absorbed some of that from her, you know, and it's just, it's part of who I am. And I think if I don't acknowledge that, then I could very easily ignore my financial situation and not take care of myself, you know, or I tend to be more of a spender. Like if I'm tired or I'm feeling sad, spending money makes me feel good, you know, and that's just part of my personality. And when I am trying to, if I shame myself into saying like, oh, you know, I need to be always checking my bank account and I need to be super organized and detail oriented. And I also need to not spend my money when I'm sad, you know, I'm just going to set myself up for failure. It's just, I've done that over and over and over. And in becoming an educator around financial literacy, I've realized we can't just put people in a box. If we do that, we're not going to be able to be effective with our education. Yes, some people don't have anxiety around their finances. Some people are not going to spend their money when they feel, you know, feel anxious or sad. But that's not everyone. That's a portion of the population. And that's what we studied in this report. We looked at three different categories, six subcategories. One was your mindset, so your confidence around money, your security, your anxiety, that kind of thing. The second was your financial planning style, so whether you like to be collaborative with others or detail-oriented. And then the last one with your spending profile, so like how impulsive are you with your spending or saving, and how what's your risk tolerance? And so that gives you kind of a general picture. It's a personality quiz. And, and then by looking at that, you can really have a better feel for what are some of the safeguards I need to have if I have this personality type? What are some recommendations? It gives you personalized recommendations based on your personality. So it was really fun.
That's wild. So did you see any trends?
Yes. So what was interesting is, for the most part, there wasn't, it was pretty evenly distributed, and between, you know, what side you fall on the spectrum, which I think is important to recognize, because if we educate people for only the detail oriented, like you need to know where every dollar goes, that's not going to fit for half the population, you know? But then one thing I found was interesting that was not there was that it didn't differ by age. And I ran the numbers like over and over, had other people look at it. There was nothing statistically significant between a Gen Zer and a Gen Xer, for instance. And so I thought that was interesting, but what was statistically significant was looking at gender. So women, and the same idea concept has come up in previous reports as well. But women were less likely to feel confident in their ability to manage their finances, and they were less likely, and there was more insecurity around their finances. And then, so on the mindset side, and then on the spending profile, they were more risk averse. So they were less tolerant with their risk profile. So I thought that was really interesting.
That is really interesting. I saw it on your website. You guys have put this quiz on the website where anybody can really go and take it. Is that meant for, like, could we send our buyers there, or how did you envision it? How did you envision it being used? And because so our listener base is probably a mixed bag of loan officers and real estate agents. So, you know, if they wanted to take advantage of the quiz or work with you guys, how does that work?
Yeah. So first of all of this is freely available. We put the money personality quiz on our nonprofits page. You can also find it on the research page, but thefirsthomeiq.com/moneypersonality. And you can take the quiz, you can get your results at the end, it will customize it. Definitely think it's a cool thing to share with your buyers, with your agents, with your team, you know, across the board. I think anyone would benefit from this. Please share. The report itself, you can find linked up in the results page of that quiz too, but that's on nextgenhomebuyer.com. And you can also find it on National My's website. But yeah, you could use some of those slides too to present, like if you're a loan officer presenting to a group of real estate agents, it would be great. You can use some of those slides to do a presentation. If you're a first-time IQ ambassador, you also have other slide decks like that that you can, you know, use to share. But you could just completely take the report and say, do a presentation on the report, have people take the quiz, it's interactive. A good tool, I think, to spread financial literacy and also provide value.
I think I might go take the quiz. I think it really is like just eye opening to see how I envision money. Cause I mean, you don't really think about it. Like I don't think about my spending habits, which is probably a problem. I'm going to go take it. I've decided.
Yes. You have to tell me what you think after you take it.
So do I get the results or do you all get the results?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could go in and like look at them. I won't do that.
But it goes to the buyer, whoever gets it.
Yeah. Whoever takes it, they will see those. Like, if you take the quiz, you'll get your results, and you also get a PDF of your results. And I mean, the goal of this is education, and you'll get customized stuff. So it'll like break it down, where it'll say under confidence, but depending on what your responses were, it'll give you some recommendations. So it's a great educational tool. And then what you could do also with buyers is say, take the quiz, bring your results, and yeah, let's talk about if you wanted to do something like that, or take the quiz ahead of this workshop I'm doing, and then we'll talk about your results.
So there's so many different ways you could use it. It's really cool. I'm really excited to go take it. Do you guys have any new stuff that you guys are working on that you're excited about?
Oh my gosh.
You can share.
Yeah. We're always working on new stuff. I can't seem to live my life because I'm always doing new stuff. But first of all, if anyone does do a workshop with realtors or consumers, whatever, please let me know, because I would love to just like share as a case study, like, hey, look what someone else is doing, inspire others mm-hmm. to do that, because I think this is such an important topic. But yeah, so the next big thing is our next report, I guess, we'll be working on is a financial literacy report. We did this a year ago, and it was really interesting. We developed a different quiz that was 20 questions that measures your understanding of buying your first home. And we're going to do another iteration of that, and also do some research on next gen home buyers to see where their gaps are when it comes mm-hmm. to financial literacy and buying their first home. So that will be in later fall. And then otherwise, we are doing new programs with First Home IQ. We're creating a mentorship program mentorship materials. So like, we have lots of one-to-many curriculum and activities and things like that. But to do a one-to-one, like when I'm mentoring my little sister in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, I feel overwhelmed of like, how do I tell you all this stuff? Oh. You know, and I think for people who are parents, they feel that way. It's like, well, yeah, I need to teach my kid, but like, how do I do that? So we're going to create a program for someone to be able to go through that individually. So I think that'll be really cool.
That will be very cool. I remember reading the First Buyer report, or you maybe have talked about it at a conference or something, but just, you know, the gaps that are there in first-time home buyers was, I love your reports. I really, really do. So I'm very excited for the next one. I can't let you leave without asking you our signature question, which you lend it forward every day, but how are you planning on lending it forward for the rest of the year?
Lend it forward. So that would mean like paying it forward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or any guess. You can take it any way you like.
So yeah, my focus is on bringing financial literacy to the next generation. And that's, you know, the big thing that that I'm doing all day, every day. But what I am focused on personally through the end of the year is to be very present in all of my meetings. I think that a lot of times it's easy to be like so excited about, you know, what's next, or stressed about what's going on. And it leaves you not being truly present. And so that would be what I would say is like a really big focus area for me and how I'm going to lend it forward, both for myself and for the people that I'm spending time with.
That's awesome. That's something I think all of us could be paying more attention to. I think it's hard to, you know, be focused in, and you got this going on over here and this going on over here, and you know, you got your back mind working. So that's awesome. I might steal that from you too. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Kristen. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram @LendingForward, on YouTube, and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode, and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452.